Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Amit Mand. Welcome to our YouTube channel. I'm going to recap the Raptors 112-99 win in their first preseason game. Yes, I am aware that it was a few days ago, but if you've been following our channel, you know that I was in BC for training camp over the past, for 4 or 5 days, and I got back. It was Thanksgiving, didn't actually watch the game, so I figured I may as well do a recap anyways, because there's not another game until Sunday. And also, things are pretty new and exciting with the Raptors right now, so why not talk about them? Because this was a fun game, right? As I said, they went 112-99. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. Thanks. Appreciate that. So yes, the game. The Raptors, 96.6 per 100 possessions in the half court. That is a slight uptick compared to their half court offense this past season. 32 free throws along with 24 made, 30 assists on 39 made field goals, 34% from three, 62.9 true shooting percentage, 29 turnovers, and 29 fouls. Let's talk about the offense and we'll get to the other parts as we go here. But overall, one third of their shots came from the rim, and they shot 16 of 24, 66% from there, 61% in the short mid-range. They shot 11 of 18. They were getting to the rim, which was a great sign because this team really struggled to get there this past season. Obviously, a lot of it was in transition, but as a whole, you could tell that the team, they're buying into this Darko system. I think they're having a lot of fun with it. I love the tempo they were playing with. They were cutting hard. They were passing fast. They were making quick decisions. The tempo was really good to see. And with Darko, I mean, he wants the buy-in, and at training camp, you could tell that as soon as we left the mess of media day, the players, they're in their habitat, they're in the gym, they're working hard, they were smiling, they were having fun. I think he's getting the buy-in that we're hoping for from a new coach, and that was obviously great to see. I love the pace that they're playing with. They're pushing off misses nonstop, and this is where the idea of having four ball handlers and then obviously a center comes into play. It doesn't matter who gets the rebound. It doesn't matter who's ahead, as long as it's not Jakob Poeltl. You pass it ahead, you get the ball down the floor, and that's a great sign for the Toronto Raptors. 29 turnovers. With that, when several different people are in new positions, uncomfortable positions, they're having to use different skill sets, the turnovers are going to come. So that's why you're going to see a Gary Trent Jr. with 5 turnovers. Chris Boucher is dribbling the ball down the floor. You got Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Dennis Schroeder. All these guys are acclimating on the fly to a new system, and also they're learning about each other. So I'm not surprised that there were a lot of turnovers in this game. I think it's actually a good indication that they're trying to play a fast pace. They're trying to make quick decisions, and with that, there's going to be some turnovers. The Raptors, they're one of the low turnover teams in the NBA last year, and I don't think that's going to be the case this upcoming season just because of their style of basketball, which is okay. Because if it's conducive to a better half-court offense, I think we'd all agree that's a good thing to have. But once they got past half-court, especially if they were coming off of a make, I loved how fast they were getting into their half-court offense. It was a lot of drag screens. There were plays where have Gary Trent Jr. seemingly just minding his own business on the end line, and all of a sudden, boom, he's flashing into the middle. Thad Young is setting a screen for him. He's getting the ball, and he's getting the Raptors an advantage on the offense, and now they're getting the Kings in rotation. These are good positive signs because you want to see them playing with more detail, more pace, obviously, but more focus on the offensive end. And I think we were seeing that and going through some of the plays that they were running. I mean, it was a lot of empty side stuff, which again is great for a Pascal Siakam, a Scottie Barnes, a OG Anunoby. You want them going downhill in space. That wasn't always the case this past season. Nick, he did have moments where he was using empty corner stuff, empty side stuff, but it wasn't necessarily a principle within the offense. But I think it's going to be there with Darko this upcoming season. We saw the high post system, Jakob Poeltl, Thad Young, Chris Boucher, geez, Mohamedou Gaye. All these guys had the ball in their hands in the high post, and they had cutters going around them. And the good thing about running a DHO kind of style of offense is that it's less predictable. Right. So if you're running a high pick and roll, everyone knows it's going to be a high pick and roll. But with a dribble handoff, you could make it into a dribble handoff. It could be a pick and roll. You can make some decisions on the fly with it. And I think the Raptors need more options with their half court offense. And we saw that in this preseason game. It wasn't just they were in one action and it was all of a sudden ISO basketball. They were running more plays. It was multiple actions. They were trying new things. If it resulted in nothing, okay, let's swing to the corner. And now Jakob Poeltl goes screen for OG Anunoby on the wing. Or, you know what, Jakob Poeltl, take the ball, dribble towards OG Anunoby, and now he's going to take the ball. He's going to head downhill. He's going to kick it out, and maybe there's a shot there. They were constantly moving, and I like the three-man game they're running in a lot of cases, because they would have guys in the corners, but then up top, they're running some horns, cross screens. They were running some flares. They were running a lot of fun stuff between those three players at times. And again, it's just more options for this team. And we saw them run some Spain pick and roll. We saw them run some staggers, some pinch posts. We saw some delay and get actions with their bigs. And also, contributing to the pace that they're running, it's the drag screens in transition. It's a fantastic way to keep teams on their heels, and the Raptors were doing that, and I just loved seeing it. These are positive signs for their offense, and it's confirming what we thought was going to be the case, that this is going to be a very different looking half court offense. But let's look at some of the players specifically. Jakob Poeltl. So, I mean, his impact on the game wasn't robust. I mean, he had 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, but I think with him, he's ran, you know, DHOs and been a playmaker hub already with the San Antonio Spurs. With the Raptors, along with learning this system, along with understanding how to advantage his teammates, it's going to take some time, but their playmaking chops are definitely there. There was a case where he was running a pick and roll with Dennis Schroeder, and Jakob slipped. He's in space now around the free throw line, and Jalen McDaniels, he's curling around the baseline, and Jakob found him. And then there are other cases where actually it was, again, Jalen McDaniels, where he cuts back door, Jakob finds him, it draws a foul. He's going to pick this up pretty quickly, and there's only growth going to happen from Jakob Poeltl and Dennis Schroeder in their pick and roll. It's not perfect, you know, because we don't have the pull-up threat necessarily from Dennis Schroeder, although I'll get to that in a second. But I think we'll see their chemistry improve. And when you have the smarts of a Jakob Poeltl and you have the smarts of a Dennis Schroeder, along with his speed and his ability to, you know, cut back door, the Raptors, they do seemingly are making an effort to keep the paint open, to keep under the basket open. So when you have that, there's always an avenue for a Dennis Schroeder to get downhill. And that's going to be a good release valve for this team and as we go in the season. But can Jakob Poeltl create some offense for himself? That's going to be another thing, too. As a DHO hub, you have to be able to be a scoring threat, too. And that's why we're seeing him, you know, take some shots from the elbows, some shots. He's taking some drives towards the rim sometimes. He's going to need to do that to keep defenses honest. Look at no further than what the Warriors did with Sabonis this past postseason. They just left him out there at the elbow, and he wasn't able to convert on these opportunities, and that just can't happen. It's going to get you caught at some point. So let's see what Jakob can do with it. Moving to Jalen McDaniels and Chris Boucher, because I think they're almost like a yin and yang kind of situation here. I love the fit of Jalen McDaniels from the get-go, and Chris Boucher, I mean, he's one of the best cutters on the team already, but for both of them, the question is, are they going to be able to hit their threes, obviously? And also, you know, can they just be like that consistent source of energy? And during the scrimmage, I saw Chris Boucher, he was hitting a few threes, he had like 3 threes. And also in drills, you know, he's working with Pascal Siakam, Jeff Dowden Jr., Ron Harper Jr., and Chris is winning some of these three-point drills. So it seems like he got in the lab, and I'm hoping that he has a great three-point shooting season. It may be an unorthodox stroke, but he's shooting at a pretty good clip right now. He made one in this game against the Kings, and as I said in the scrimmage, he was everywhere. He had a great scrimmage. I think he had 2 or 3 threes at least, and he was cutting. He was offensive rebounding. And Jalen McDaniels, he is an instant fit on this Raptors team. He had a relocation three off the ball that I thought was really nice. And also, he's a great offensive rebounder. He's got a floater, which is really cool, that he's going to be able to use in some of those tight windows around the rim, because he is able to get downhill a little bit. He's able to pass the ball. And so if he isn't able to get to the rim in that short mid-range area, that floater is going to become really handy for him. I love his game. He had 3 offensive rebounds in this one, and it's different from how the Raptors attacked offensive rebounding last season, because it seems like he's more watching the ball and he's looking at the trajectory and he's He's pinpointing where it's going to go. And then he goes and gets it. And he's able to get a few easy baskets. I think he's going to be a constant off the bench. I think he's going to be a constant piece off the bench. He's going to be a release for a few players, an OG, a Pascal. He's going to help them keep their minutes down because of how reliable he's going to be in his role. So I'm enjoying those two. Definitely. I mean, the Raptors, I've talked about it. They're going to have much better depth this upcoming season. And those two are going to be at the center of it off the bench. Moving to OG Anunoby, there isn't too much to say about OG. He's just, it's kind of similar to Pascal too. Like those are two guys who kind of know what they're going to be offering the Raptors. And they're both pretty comfortable in their roles. And they've been around the league for a little while. As Pascal Siakam said, I'm a hooper. I love watching basketball. I love playing basketball. They've seen a lot, done a lot. So I don't have any issues with how they're going to adapt to this system. I think they're both extremely smart players and they're going to find their way. OG hit a nice sidestep three on the second quarter. That was good to see. He was on balance, and that's been one of his problems over his career. Is can he maintain his balance on his shots, and when he's driving, can he pull up for two and be on an even playing field? And that was a good sign for OG. But again, these are early stages for him. I don't doubt that he's going to find cutting windows. I don't doubt that he's going to rebound. He was getting downhill a little bit, and he had a nice drive on Trey Lyles. And also he was doing the early work, and Scotty Barnes, which we'll get to in a second, he was rewarding him, early post-ups, get a seal and just get yourself an easy bucket. Good stuff. And Pascal, 0.5 basketball, he knows how to do it, and he was making quick decisions. He did miss two threes, which we'll see how his 3-point shot goes this season. But there's no doubt in my mind he's going to keep on making the right decision. And it was good to see him have some more energy on the defensive end. One thing that was talked about this past season, the slippage in his defense, and I think because of the resume that he has, I think there's reason to believe that it was the reps that he was getting offensively, the hub he had to be. Often star players do rest on the defensive end a little bit because of the toll that it takes for them to be an offensive hub. And considering how demanding the Raptor system was, I think it took, again, a toll on Pascal Siakam. But I don't doubt we're going to see a much better season from him on the defensive end. And this was a good start for him. Moving to Dennis Schroeder. So Dennis, people have their opinions on whether or not he should be the starting point guard. I felt like he should be, because I think if the Raptors want to win games, I think he puts you in the best position to win games, because you do need a game manager. Yes, there's a lack of shooting in the starting lineup as it currently stands, but you need a game manager. You need someone who's got a great feel for the game, and also someone who can distribute the ball. You want Scotty Barnes to improve his scoring ability. We know he has point guard tendencies. He calls himself, his favorite player is Magic Johnson. Like, I get it. He has that pedigree within him. Also, at the same time, if he wants to be the best version of himself, which may be a point guard, he's got to be able to score the ball better and more efficiently and from different spots on the court. And I think Dennis is going to help him do that. He said, during one of his availabilities at training camp, that I'm going to push Scotty, but at the same time, I've been impressed with how he's worked in training camp. So you want someone that's going to help Scotty develop, get him to the right spots, help him be successful. And I think Dennis is going to do that, because from everything I'm seeing, he's a great communicator with the team. He's a willing passer. He's great in transition, which the Raptors are obviously going to be. It's going to be one of the pillars of the Raptors offense, is getting out in transition, running off misses. And you want Dennis with the ball in his hand, so that way a Scotty, a Pascal, an OG, they can finish the ball. And I loved some of the passes that he was making. He had this cross-court pass to OG in semi-transition. That was great. He saw that, OG had a mismatch at one point, and he found him. And then there was another play where he saw Pascal had a mismatch, but he just wasn't able to get the ball to him. And then the clock was winding down. And again, this is another advantage of Dennis Schroeder, is that he can get downhill anytime he wants, provided the spacing is there. And it was late shot clock, and he just beat his man. He drew a foul, but then he went to Pascal afterwards and probably saying something to the effect of, I was trying to get the ball to you. Window wasn't there. They dapped up and they moved on. He's going to be a great addition for this team from a leadership perspective, on court, off court. the pick and roll with Jakob. I think their chemistry is just going to get better and better, and it could be potent in some ways. I think his three-point shot is going to be better than people are giving him credit for. Usually players that are more on ball, that got the hands, they got their hands on the ball more, they tend to do a little bit better with their three-point shot just because they got the feel, the flow, and he's going to be able to be a starting point guard. You know, how many minutes he plays, it could be on the 30-minute area, depending on game by game, but he's going to have the ball in his hands more. And usually players do shoot the ball better when they got that feel. And I think he's going to have that feel. And I have no doubt that Darko, you know, when he was signed to the Raptors, that he told them, we're going to need you to hit some threes and you got to hit them at a decent clip. And I think I'm confident that he's going to be able to hit the open shots at a fairly high efficiency this upcoming season. It may not have a lot of variety, his three-point shot, but can he just like hit some of those threes on unders, on pick and rolls? Can he hit the open catch and shoot threes? You know, those kinds of things. I think he'll have a bit of a rebound three-point shooting season compared to his previous year with the Lakers. All right, now Gary Trent Jr., this system is made for someone like him with his skill set. You know, 0.5 basketball, be able to pull up from anywhere inside the three-point line, And he's going to be challenged with his ball handling skills, with his playmaking skills. You know, I mentioned earlier, he had 5 turnovers. He was running pick and roll a little bit. He was hitting some floaters in the pick and roll. He was snaking a little bit and getting the defender on his back. And then he was executing off of it. He's going to be able to get his opportunities. Like, if he's going to be in the 6-man role, he's coming in. And when he did come into this game, he was ready to shoot. They're running plays for him. And it seems like he's got a bit of a giddy up in his step right now. He was getting downhill a little bit, penetrating the basket. The passing is where you want to see some improvement, being able to find his teammates and just being aware of where his surroundings are and having a spatial awareness of the court and, you know, understanding plays at a different level where it's not just where he should be. He knows where his teammates are going to be. He's able to execute off of that. But 5 free throws, it's a good indication. He had moments last season where he was getting to the free throw line. And I think that's the best version of him. I mean, he shot 7 of 12. He had 3 threes. So he had 4 field goals made that weren't threes. These are good indications for Gary Trent. And he shot really well in the scrimmage from 3. He had some really nice shots, really quick catch and shoots. And it seems like that's going to continue, at least hopefully. And he's going to need to do that too. He's going to have a great shooting season, but these other skills too are going to help him be an even bigger factor in the offense. But if we're talking, you know, coming off pin downs or coming off staggers or, you know, running in transition, leaking out, filling in lanes along 3-point line, all this kind of stuff, like this is stuff that he's going to have to do. And I hope that he has a rebound season because we all know then that's contract year for him. He's got to be able to cut in and out of space really well and relocate. And if he does all these things, like he could have a very impactful role this season with the Raptors, more so than he's already projected to have under this system, which is kind of made for his skill set. Scotty Barnes now. Let's move to Scotty. I mean, he's been great so far. I love that he shot 7 free throws. The way he's pushing the ball, it's so good for the Raptors. It's so good for his play style. I was getting like, when I was watching him, I was getting like little vibes of Giannis in his early days, in the sense that he had at some point, you know, Giannis had teams just backpedaling constantly. Like as soon as a miss happens, he's coming down the court and he's coming down your throat. And you saw everyone on the other team, like they're getting back because he's just a load to deal with. Now, Scotty may not have the brute physicality that Giannis has, but I can see him getting to that point where he's so cerebral that if you don't pick him up with, you know, 2 guys, or if you don't negate those edges he's trying to find, he's going to find the open man, or he's going to create positive offense for the Raptors in transition. And he's been great steps for him. Like he had that play against JaVale McGee. It was a pick and roll with Yach, and he just turned the corner and he dunked it with his right hand on the left side. And like that kind of burst, I don't think we saw that as much this past season. So the shape he's in, he says that he's in great shape, you know, 240 pounds. He's running all the time. His cardio is right. It seems like he's stronger. I think these are really good signs for Scotty, for his ability to just be a menace for the other team in transition. And then, you know, he hit a couple of threes in the scrimmage. He hit 3, I believe. And there's some catch and shoots there from around the wing. This game, he shot 0 of 2 from 3. But wherever that gets to, is wherever it gets to, but we're going to see him with the ball in his hands a lot. He's obviously still such a smart player. He's finding his teammates. He's making these very sweet dump off passes and transition, but also, you know, he's finding an OG post up, you know, down low, or he's finding Pascal, or he's finding that cutter. And these are going to be great opportunities for him to expand his game. You know, we've been looking for that rebound year from Scotty, a big year three. We probably are going to get something to that effect, I think, because he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Like, he was second on the team in usage this game. And actually, Gershon Jr. was the highest usage player of all of them, interesting enough. And yeah, I want to see him throw his weight around a little bit, you know, be a problem for teams in transition and also in empty side stuff. Like, you have the talent to face up, and I want to see him, you know, post up, face up. Just show us all you can do on the offensive end. At the same time, be a playmaker and rebounder. And this is a great opportunity for him to just show off his massive skill set. Wrapping up in a minute here. So Malachi Flynn, I don't have too much to say about him, but I just want to point out that, you know, he had 19 minutes, shot 1 of 6, he had five assists, 3 turnovers, which is fine. But right now he's getting, you know, backup point guard minutes, but also Scotty's getting point guard minutes. So we'll have to see how that shakes out as preseason goes on. But I think he's going to get a legit opportunity to find himself a rotation spot. And you got to factor in that, you know, we can say that he's had a lot of chances under the Nick Nurse regime, and he has, but no management office wants to be wrong about a player they draft. So this is an opportunity for him to restart, and also for the Raptors to kind of restart with him too, a new coach. And let's see if he can make this stretch happen, where he's able to, you know, show what he can do under a different coach, right? How it's going to go, it's going to vary. You know, he spent a lot of his time in this game, alongside Gary Trent Jr. And as I said, he was the highest usage player. So Malachi wasn't looking for his offense by himself necessarily, but right now it's a lot about, you know, knowing the system and being a game manager. Like I said, with Dennis Schroeder, you know, are you maintaining the pace of the offense, the tempo? Are you making smart decisions? Are you, you know, cutting hard to the basket? Are you making your shots? He shot 1 of 4. He made one off Jalen McDaniels found him off. He was coming off a stagger screen, and he found Malachi, who relocated a little bit towards the wing, and he hit a shot. Great shot, but he shot 1 of 4. Can he stabilize that? He did hit a couple of nice shots in the scrimmage. So, you know, sometimes shot goes in, sometimes doesn't. It is what it is, but this is a big moment for Malachi. I mean, I feel like we've been saying that the past few seasons, but it is a really big moment for Malachi Flynn to prove that he belongs in the NBA. Wrapping up with Grady Dick. So I loved his minutes. I thought they were really solid. Again, I said this during Summer League too, that it's just about seeing him continue to evolve and show he belongs at different levels of basketball. So he showed it at Summer League. And in this game, you know, he showed how dangerous he can be as a shooter. So he shot 1 of 4, but that one shot he hit, I mean, it was like a very basic dribble handoff with, I believe, Marquise Noel. And all Marquise did was walk in front or run in front of Grady's defender. And that's all it took for Grady to get a shot off. It took that little time. And all the shots he took, they were very makeable. He shot 2 of 6. He hit this shot coming off of a Thad Young screen above the break. And he came off the screen. He took one dribble and he hit the shot. It was in the mid-range 2 over Alex Len. He'd also hit the same kind of shot previously, but they call it a double dribble mysteriously. Wasn't really a double dribble, but the pace that he plays with is very good. His decision-making is very good. He found Gary Trent Jr. with a nice pass along the wing as well for 3. And I just like the intent that he comes off screens. He's ready to shoot at all times. He can get the shot off in a heartbeat. And if not, then he knows where the ball has to go next. Like, you can see why the Raptors are so high on him. And you can see why, as I observed, that in the drills during scrimmage with the starters, the guys that I had mentioned, OG, Pascal, Jakob, Scotty, and Dennis, sometimes Pascal was subbing out and they were putting Grady Dick in there to work with them. They want him to be ready to go for this upcoming season. They want to see him have an impact at the NBA level. I wasn't sure how much time he was going to spend with the G League, because obviously it's good for him, it's good reps and stuff like that. But if they're going to run the same kind of plays for him, but they're going to do it at the NBA level, then I mean, maybe this is it. Maybe he's going to be, you know, staying with the big club. We'll have to see how things go. I mean, the minute distribution in this one, I mean, you can't take everything from it, but a lot of the guys, you know, Grady, Mohamedou, Garrett, Joan Freeman Liberty, Marquise Noel. These guys were getting minutes late in the game, and it seemed like it was like a 10-man rotation kind of for the most part throughout the game. And then things kind of, you know, opened up a little bit as the game went on in the late third quarter and so forth. But I think they want Grady to be a rotation player because they need his 3-point shooting, and the plays that they're going to be running for him, you know, pinch posts, if don't coming off double staggers, coming off pin downs, these kinds of things. Like, he's done this stuff already at the college level. It's about acclimating to the NBA level, and how fast he can get up to speed with it, that's going to dictate, you know, how many minutes he plays in the NBA. And also, of course, his defense. You know, is he able to hold his own on defense and know the principles, which we'll get to now, right? The defense, because it is obviously very different from what we saw with Nick Nurse. So there isn't as much switching. Darko had mentioned that he feels like it's kind of a cop-out with defense, that, you know, you should try and get through the screens and maintain position. And it also keeps, you know, energy up for all the players in those moments. But, you know, I do worry a little bit about screen navigation for a Scotty Barnes, the Pascal Siakam. Usually screen navigation is reserved for some guards because it's easier for them to get around screens, but it could be a little bit trickier for those guys. But you can now also agree that if they are doing their job, you got Jakob Poeltl back there, or if not Jakob Poeltl, Christian Koloko, hopefully at some point, or maybe it's the pressure of the Chua. It's going to be pretty hard for a player to get through those. So I think they're banking on, you know, some pretty solid drop coverage. And I think, you know, Jakob Poeltl, his footwork, his ability to stifle angles is going to be very useful. And I see the vision with that. It seems like deflections are going to be, again, an emphasis for the Raptors, with most teams, actually. Like, most teams want to get a lot of deflections. Assistant Vin Bobnani at halftime had mentioned that they had 13 deflections in the second quarter, 18 total in the first half. So they want that, and I think it's a great indication of aggression, of you know, stifling a team, of getting them out of their actions, their primary actions, and taking it to them in the right way. But at the same time, you could tell that, you know, with the Raptors stunting, they're recovering, they're tagging, they're making sure that they're forcing long passes and long finishes from the spots on the court that they want players shooting from. The corner threes, they were harder to come by. You know, the weak side defender, he has a foot in the paint, but as the ball is swinging around to the other corner, he's making his way over there. And it's going to be a point of emphasis for them, is that they don't want to, you know, allow too many corner threes. And with everything that they're doing, it's a much more composed system. They're relying on their length more than they did this past season. They're going to be probably a better defensive rebounding team. Not that they weren't good once, you know, Jakob Poeltl got there, because they were, but it's going to be an easier way for them to run off misses. If they get the rebound, now they can just go. Now you have four players running out there, and they're able to get the ball out the floor really quickly. So I think they're going to be a pretty damn good defensive team, I got to say. I'm excited to see them on that end of the court. It's really coming down to offensively. Are they going to be able to be competent? Can they be a top 20 half court offense or something of that nature? Because if they are, then, you know, they could be an interesting team as the season goes on. But a lot of observations. We are only in one preseason game. We got another one on Sunday, and then there's another one on Tuesday, and then they wrap it up on Friday, I believe, against the Wizards, which will be their final preseason game next Friday. So hope you enjoy the recap. Thanks so much for listening or watching. And my name is Amit Mann. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll talk to you soon.